Tonight, we're going to do a sharing on the hope of resurrection. So I'm going to give you a little writing that E.W. Bullinger did back in 1902. And this is so true for today. There is no article of the Christian faith that has been more affected and injured by the traditions than the hope of resurrection. Notwithstanding the fact that there is no truth more important or more fundamental to the gospel, there is none more neglected. It is difficult to find a hymn in any book which we can sing concerning this blessed hope. We can find hymns about Christ's resurrection, plenty about Easter, but how few concerning the blessed fact that his people who died with him have risen also in him, how few about the resurrection of the body in which all profess to believe. In nothing do we see the truth of Isaiah 55:8 more exemplified. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith Yahweh. Thus the scriptures emphasize the difference between mine and yours, between God, Yahweh's thoughts and ways and those of man. Yahweh in his word makes everything of resurrection, man makes nothing of it. Yahweh makes resurrection our blessed hope, man makes death our hope. And most of his hymns testify to the truth of our indictment. If we do get a good hymn, it is generally spoiled by the last verse, for most hymns, like man, who make them, end with death. Yahweh speaks of death as an enemy. The last enemy man speaks of death as though it was a friend. Yahweh speaks of death as an end. Man speaks of it as a new beginning. Yahweh speaks of it as a terminus. Man speaks it as a door or a gate. Christianity ends in the resurrection and rapture of the church of Yahweh at his coming. Religion ends in dreams, imagination, and speculations as to the intermediate state. The word of Yahweh tells of glorious realities and bodies like Christ, our own risen body, incorruption, glory, and power characterize our risen body. Man has nothing better to talk about than ghosts, spirits, and spooks. The Holy Spirit says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is life age abiding. Deceiving spirits and teaching the demons say there is no death, and talk of having passed on and about the home going and the grave beyond and beyond the veil. And the sad fact is that the majority believe man rather than Yahweh and lying spirits rather than the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going to be discussing. And this is the ascension period of time after Christ's resurrection. But we start seeing, according to the traditions of man, Christ's resurrection was nothing. People were already in heaven. Well, Abraham was in heaven. Abel was in heaven. What purpose did Christ even die? Everybody was already up. And we're going to see that. Everybody's already up there anyway. The deceiver, which we'll begin with, we go to 2 Corinthians 11. The great deceiver, he's done a masterful job. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, page 188. Verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent completely deceived Eve in his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the singleness and the chasteness which are due unto the Christ. Now we go to 12. Let's go to 13. Yeah, 13. For such as these are false apostles, deceitful workers, transfiguring themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself does transfigure himself into a messenger of light. No great thing, therefore, if his ministers also are transfiguring themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now let's show you how this works. Since Christianity today, nobody dies, they just change addresses. Now, if you can zoom in on this, Kevin, when you're done, this is called liquid ant baits. So here's how I kill a colony of ants. And so if you got it, okay, back it up. So So if I want to kill a colony of ants, if I put poison around there, obviously ants aren't going to go up wherever all the ants are dead. Well, that's stupid because everybody's going to see they're dead. So what do I want to do? I want to do a poison that is good tasting, but it doesn't kill them right away, that they take it back to their friends and family and to the queen. So they take, this is ant-based, so they take the poison that's sweet, and they go, what a blessing, and they take it to their colony and feed their whole colony. And we don't realize the poison doesn't work for a week. And by that time, they're all dead. And that's how you kill ants. So you actually have their friends bring the poison to feed them. And they're trusted. Here is another story. Tell me when you're done with that. This is called Heaven is for Real. And there's a book, and a little boy went to heaven, and then they made a movie of it, and it sold a million copies and everything else. And this is Doctrines of Demons. That is just like the poison here, is by pastors and shepherds, they get to spread to their flock. And we'll see one other place, example, by Jesse Duplantis, which was done in 1988. Go ahead and cut.
I looked at the clock, you know, those digital clocks that hotels have. And I knelt down. I didn't know what, though. I had no idea what. I said, in this position, like this, I don't know if you can see me or not. Just, and I said, Lord, what? And I was sucked out of my room. I heard this. And I went, oh! I just, oh! Now, I don't know whether I was in my body or out of my body. I believe I was in my body. I was sucked through. I just went, wow. And I realized I was moving at a phenomenal rate of speed. And I'm in this vehicle-looking thing. It looked like a ski lift. It's not a ski lift. A cable car. You understand? Not something that you can hang your feet off of. An enclosure. And I'm traveling. And I turned around. And when I looked up, there was that same blonde-headed angel that had told me, and I went, hey. And he smiled at me. He said, you have an appointment with the Lord God Jehovah. And I thought, man, in my wait, I mean, we are rolling. It looked like I called it a chariot without any horses. An enclosure looking type thing. I mean, going at a phenomenal rate of speed. And all of a sudden, I felt the thing slow down. And it come to a stop. And ladies and gentlemen, when that door opened, the shock of my life. You see, heaven is wonderful. It's a big place. He hasn't destroyed paradise. It's all around, all completely around that holy city. It looks like it's a planet. I walked out and saw mountains and streams and trees and flowers and the fragrances. I looked and I just was amazed. And I come out and I went, glory to God. And the angel went, glory to God. And we both start praising, glory to God. You just say, hallelujah. That starts a reaction, boy. Hallelujah. Just praising God. And I'm looking around. I'm thinking, what am I doing here? I'm walking. I mean, I'm physically walking like I am on this platform. Beautiful, gorgeous trees and streams and water and mountains. Totally comfortable. Yet I saw snow, yet not cold. Nothing brown, nothing lush, beautiful, gorgeous valleys and mountains and streams. And I looked at him and I said, what am I doing here? He said, you have an appointment with the great God Jehovah. He said, we must go to the city. Now paradise is very big. It's huge. So we were walking. We started to walk and I saw trees lined up on the side of River of Life, ladies. I knew it was that, with thousands of people under them. I mean, it just goes forever. It just seemed like forever. And these, how do I say this? These contraptions were bringing people, and these angels were coming out and assigning people. And I noticed that I was in my clothes. I was in the clothes that I had on. But these people that were coming out of these machines looking, I call it a machine looking thing. Some had robes of righteousness, beautiful, glorious. And they got out and ran, just took off running straight to that city, man, in that line. And there's some that got out, they didn't have a robe on. They had like a gown on. And they would head for that throne. Everybody wants to get to the throne. Everywhere you look, you can see that throne. I mean, it's just everywhere. You can see it. It's high. And I saw them, and all of a sudden they'd get out of the line, the people with the gowns, and they'd walk over. And they'd go and eat those trees. It was eating, looked like fruit. And they would take the leaves and do this. And I asked that angel, I said, what is that? I said, those people can't go to the throne of God? He said, yes, the great God Jehovah is merciful. I said, but in my theological mind, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But that's true that the minute you walk over to that other side. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, some people don't live for God the way they should. But you see, God's merciful. He still helps them and touches them. But they look different. They got to be taught. If you don't learn it here, you are going to learn it there. Now, I'm telling you. And these gowns are beautiful. And when I got back to the earth, I began to research it and I found out that God gives us a robe of righteousness and a gown of salvation. There's a difference. And some people don't live close to God, but yet they know Jesus in their life. They can do so much better. They're going to go to the throne, but it takes time for them. Everybody's trying to get to that throne. And as I was walking, I looked and I saw a man. He went, hey, Jesse. And I knew him immediately. He was thick, barrel-chested man. I said, you Abraham. He said, yes. He said, this is still my bosom. He said, I meet everybody here. So I hadn't got to the gate of the city yet. He said, how you doing? I said, Jesus. I said, I'm doing fine. Glory to God. When I said that, he went, glory to God. The angel went, glory to God. It just starts a chain reaction. People start hollering and praising God. And I noticed his size. He looked of great age, yet he was young looking. But yet you could tell he was a patriarch. He looked of great age, yet young looking. And I just looked at it. The first thing I thought of, I'm the seed of Abraham. This is my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa. If it wouldn't be for him, I wouldn't be here. You know, it's through Jesus, but I'm the seed of Abraham. And I'm just looking, and the angel said, come on, you have an appointment. So Abraham's walking with me. He said, are you thirsty? I said, yeah. Yeah. And he had a gold goblet in his hand, ladies and gentlemen. He reached down into that river. It looked like a stream, a very big stream, not like a Mississippi River, but a stream, but pure and clear. He said, drink some water. And I looked at that gold goblet. I went, man, look. I mean, this ain't a plastic cup from Sam's. This is a golden goblet. It was heavy. And I was getting weak. My knees would buckle. And I don't know what this is till today, but this angel said, eat this fruit so you can withstand the glory of God. It was a copper-colored looking fruit. I had a color here. I'd show you what it was. I don't know what kind. I would eat it and I would get strength. But I wanted to talk to Abraham. I just wanted to look at it. Wow, man. And then I noticed all the people around me. And in my theological mind, I thought everybody went to heaven was grown up. But there's children there. There's animals there. I saw horses. I saw dogs. I mean, few flowers. We went across this path and I didn't want to step on these flowers. I went, I don't know. And the angel said, walk on. I said, okay, and when I stepped, the flowers went through my legs. Never smashed them. They just kept moving. And when you walk by, they turn around. They're like they can see you, didn't they? I mean, and the fragrance and the beauty is beyond human reasoning. I'm in this line. He said, we must take you to the city. You have an appointment. But I wanted to talk to Abraham more, you know, because my favorite scripture in the Bible, favorite scriptures, he called it those things that be not as though they were. I wanted to talk to him about Romans 4:17. I wanted to consider not staggering, not fully persuaded. I realized I just wanted to talk to him. You want to stay a million years in one place just to look. I hadn't got to the city yet, and I hadn't got to the throne. I'm still going toward that. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you've had a lost loved one that's died and went home to be with Jesus, it happened 2 years ago, they hadn't even got to the gate yet. Because 1,000 years is in one day with the Lord. You equate 2 years, that's about a second and a half on 1,000. They still, they just come out that machine going, wow, look at this place. But I got into the line with those people. And people would come up to me. And I noticed children singing. Children had little harps, look about this big. Then I heard this, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And the angel of the Lord said, come on quickly, we must go, he's coming. And I understand this scripture, suffer the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. And I saw a glorious light coming. And I looked at Abraham. He said, that's him. It's Jesus. And the angel said, come on, come on. He started moving me toward this. And I can't tell you all the whole story. It's all on tape. But anyway, as I walked toward that, I got by the jasper wall. And that interested me because I studied Revelation. I wanted to see that foundation. I said, wait, stop, stop. I want to see those, the names of the apostles. Hang on. And I saw Peter. I looked at the first one. I saw Peter. And it was just Peter. And the first thing I thought next would be John, but it wasn't. It said Peter, Paul, James, John on them stones, on that foundation. And the angel said, come on, come on. The Lord walked out and these children ran up to him and began to sing praises to him. And he just hugged him. But to me, he looked like a shaft of light. He was so glorious. His clothes looked like solid diamonds sparkling. Just beautiful. And these kids sang. And he just rejoiced with them. The amphitheater's all over this place. This is all in the paradise end of it. And you're going to meet Abraham. That's the first guy you're going to see. All of you that are born again, he's a nice person. I went in, and as I walked, he turned toward me. Jesus is between 5'11 and about 6'1.
All right, well, that's an illustration of what we've just been warned about in 2 Corinthians, false doctrines, doctrines of demons. And that was a doctrine of demons. And if you don't know the scriptures, you're going to take it. And that's the poison, because death is your friend. And what we're going to find out, death is not an enemy, it's your friend. So what we want to do is learn about it. And so the poison is, in Matthew 4:4, it says, it is written, not by bread alone shall man live, but by every declaration coming from the mouth of Yahweh. This is our life. That is poison. That's what we just saw, because it's not coming from the mouth of Yahweh. It's contradicting the mouth of Yahweh. And actually, that person is accursed according to Galatians 1. Now, he has millions of viewers, and that's Jesse Duplantis, who's done in 1988. So we're going to see, what does Yahweh actually say about these things? And let's just go in, into the Old Testament, the foundation of Genesis. But you're going to see the word resurrection is never used in the Old Testament. And the resurrection actually means to raise up. Anastasis, which is number 386. It's used in the New Testament, not in the Old Testament. But let's go to Genesis 3:19 and see what Yahweh says about death and life. And people will never read this. Especially, they're not going to say it at the funerals. 19. And we know Adam and Eve sinned. Dying you shall die. We see that there is a hope, because there is a tree of life. But here is our consequences. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread until thou return to the ground. Because therefore wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. That's our life, very simply. And what we're going to see is, everybody who has lived and died, what are they?
Dust.
Dust. What are they waiting for?
Christ's return.
the Christ return. David's not with Yahweh. Abraham's not with Yahweh. Nobody's with Yahweh. And that's why it's so imperative that Christ resurrection was so monumental. Because at that time, before that, everybody's asleep. Very simply waiting for this particular moment. There's no prophet to die early. Now we go to... let's go to James 4:14. You're not going to hear this either. They're all, you know, these are the doctrines of demons. A man's immortal. So James 4:14. Page 237.
4:14?
Yes. Men who are not versed in the matter of what sort your life will be. For you are a what?
Vapor.
A vapor. For a little appearing, then just disappearing. But that's not what religion teaches. Because religion, the man-made says, you never die. They'll usually say, your spirit, soul, and body. So when your body dies, something else lives on. So every man is immortal, because they'll say the soul is immortal. And we've begun to teach us on that. But if you go to the rest of the verses, it's all over the place on vapors. So let's go to chapter 1, verse 10 of James. Whereas the rich in his being brought low, because as a flower of grass, he will what?
Pass away.
For the sun has sprung up with his scorching heat, and hath withered the grass, and the flower thereof hath fallen out, and the beauty of the face thereof hath perished. So also the rich in his going shall languish. And if you know, we won't go there, but you got Psalms 78:39, Psalms 91-6, Psalms 103:15-16, Psalms 144:4, and 1 Chronicles 29:15, that man's a vapor. It's always been a vapor. Now we go back to Genesis, and so we go, okay, what does man know? He knows he's going to be turned to dust. Adam and Eve, so that's it. There's no communication about something, you know, everlasting. If anybody said that, it was the Satan that says, dying, you do not die.
Yeah.
which is the absolute same lie that is taught today in the church by people like that, by books like this. It's all the same lie, right from Genesis, and it's the same author of the lie, which is Satan, or their adversary. But we know, you have to say, what did they have? Well, we knew that in Genesis 3:22-24, there's something called, Oh, I was going to look at, we know there's a tree of life. Let's just go to, 3:22-24. Then said Yahweh Elohim, lo, man hath become like one of us in respecting of knowing good and evil. Now therefore, lest he thrust forth his hand and take even of the tree of life and eat and live to time's age of body. So man knows there's an option to overcome death, and that's the tree of life. And that was in the midst of the garden. We know that. So Yahweh Elohim put him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground whereof he hath been taken. So he expelled the man and caused to dwell the front of the garden, Eden, cherubim, and a vanishing sword flame to keep the way to the tree of life. So we're guarding people, so a man knows about the tree of life. Okay, but he knows he's more than an animal, even though we're not talking about resurrection. We know that with Cain and Abel, they're giving sacrifices. So let's go to 4:3. To please Yahweh. So if you knew you were just going to die, well, game is over. Who cares about pleasing the Creator? Right? There's no purpose on that, but they don't. In verse 3, so it came to pass after certain days that Cain brought in the fruit of the ground, a present to Yahweh. Abel also, even he, brought in of the firstling of his sheep and of their fat, and Yahweh approved of Abel and of his present. So we need that right at the beginning. The kids, and everybody knows Yahweh personally, and they're bringing in their sacrifices. And so we know that presence that they brought was a propitiatory for them, and propitiatory means it was pleasing. So, you know, so we know the sacrifice, Abel's was pleasing, Cain's was not. Now, we have to say, okay, well, where's the rest of the stuff that about resurrection? So we go to 1 Kings 2:10, page 352. And in my understanding, when you're looking at the lack of it, it becomes, I think, the obvious, everybody knows it, and it's not even spoken of. But in 1 Kings 2:10, we see something about David. This is the first time this is stated.
1 Kings 2:10?
Yeah, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 10. So then David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. So then we get into sleep. And that means to lie down. And it's the same Hebrew word for a lying in sexual relationship or any other kind of lying, but it is to lie down. So David, it doesn't say he died, it said he lied down. And that goes on to there. Now we go to Isaiah 26. It says we have that movie, I'm going to kind of go fast. So we try to finish this. Very important information of a foundation. And 26, page 670, verse 19. We'll get some other hints. And thy dead shall come to life again. My dead body they shall arise. Awaken shall for joy, ye that dwell in the dust. For a dew of light is thy dew. And earth to the shades shall give birth. So we start getting a hint of a resurrection, or even a resurrection to stand up, if which means to be brought back to life. Daniel 12, verse 1 and 3, page 859. And at that time, when Michael, the great ruler who standeth for the sons of thy people, make a stand, and there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation up to that time, and at that time shall thy people be delivered, everyone found written in the book. So we know that. And many of the sleepers in the dusty ground. See, this is so contradictory to everything that this person just said. Shall awake. These to age-abiding life, but those to reproach and age-abiding abhorrence. There's another illustration. Now we go to Psalms 37, which is written by David, page 546. And we've gone through Psalms 37 many times. Psalms 37, verse 8 and 9. And all through Psalms 37, it shows you there is no hell. And there is no heaven. There is either you're going to perish or you're going to live on the new earth. Real simple. And so he's got another planet, is what he has ended up doing, and other people have got this. And now he's incorporated paradise with the kingdom, which is a planet someplace. You know,
you ride in a...
Yeah, and you're riding in chariots. And you got children everybody's alive, having a good old time. Now, verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Burn not with vexation. It would be only to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off. But as for them who wait for Yahweh, they shall inherit what?
The earth.
The earth. It's this earth. And we're going to have it. It's just all over the place. It's all through Psalms 37, which we don't have to go through there. Now we go to Psalms 16. And this is really foundational about Christ, because if everybody was at, you know, we have 4,000 years of people dying. And they're all in heaven or hell, according to Christianity, before Christ ever was born. So what's the purpose of Christ? And here's another understand. Well, it's the body. Well, what did this guy see?
Body.
He saw people. Right? He saw all sorts of bodies, everything else. I mean, just ridiculous. Because then the resurrection is nonsense. Who cares?
Exactly what our adversary
is. Yeah, that's what our adversary is, because we're already there. And actually, To die early, as we're going to find out, is good. Death is our friend, not our enemy. Now we go to Psalm 16, and this is really important because it's quoted in Acts multiple times, and Acts is full of the resurrection, the resurrection, the resurrection, the resurrection. Everybody's like, who cares? You know, we don't need a resurrection. Verse 5. Yahweh is mine allotted portion and my cup. Thou hast maintained my lot. The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places, verily an inheritance that delighteth me. I will bless Yahweh who has counseled me. Surely by night shall my impulses admonish me. I have set Yahweh before me continually because he is on my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore hath my heart rejoiced and my honor exalted. Yea, my flesh shall settle down securely, for thou wilt not abandon my soul to Sheol, neither will thou suffer thy man of Hesed to see corruption. So we know that is not about David, which we're going to see in the book of Acts. It's about Yahushua. So there's two things. One is that people go to Sheol when they die, and they corrupt. Very simply. But this particular person is not going to corrupt. And 11, thou wilt cause me to know the path of life, fullness of joy before thee, pleasure at thy right hand evermore. And we go to Ezekiel 37, page 830. Okay. Yeah, 10 to 14. Go ahead, Melania. And read with boldness.
And when I prophesied as he commanded me, then came into them the Spirit, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these bones, all the house of Israel, lo, they are saying, dried are our bones, and lost is our hope. We are quite cut off. Therefore, prophesy, thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith my Elohim Yahweh,
My Lord
Yahweh, Lo, I myself am going to open your graves, and I will cause you to come up out of your graves, O my people, and will bring you upon the soil of Israel. So shall ye know that I am Yahweh, when I open your graves, cause you to come up out of your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and ye shall live, and I will settle you upon your own soil, so shall ye know that I am Yahweh, and spoken and have performed, declareth Yahweh.
There's our hope. John 11, verse 106. This is Lazarus. How ridiculous. To what? These doctors of demons means if Lazarus died, according to them, where was he?
He's shaking hands with Abraham.
Yeah. Right? He's shaking hands with Abraham. And we're going to take him away from that and put him back on the earth. Would that be nice?
I mean, to die again.
Yeah, to die again. Let's look at 17 to 24. Yahushua therefore coming forth found that 4 days already had he been in the tomb. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many from among the Jews had come unto Martha and Miriam that they might console them concerning their brother. Martha therefore, can you get rid of that cat? It's going to happen on the microphone. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Yahushua was coming, went to meet him. But Mary in the house remained sitting. Martha, therefore, said unto Yahushua, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I'm glad you were, because he's in heaven now. Right? And now I know that whatsoever thou shalt ask of Yahweh, Yahweh will give unto thee. Yahushua said unto her, Thy brother shall rise. Martha said unto him, Here's the answer of all of us. What, Melania?
I can't find it.
24. I know that he shall rise in the resurrection. in the last day. Mm-hmm. Well, Yahushua said, no, Mary. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. He's in heaven right now in the bosom of Abraham. And we're going to take him back out and bring him back home to you because people are so sad. And Lazarus is not going to like it a whole lot because now he's going to go back to a corruptible body when he had an incorruptible body and an immortal body. And he's in a heavenly paradise. You really want us to bring him back? Now go to John 5:28. You know, how ridiculous. And you're reading the same book over and over and over again. My goodness. Satan is just so proud that he has such great instruments that carries his poison.
Yeah.
Verse 28. Do not be marveling at this, because there cometh an hour in which all they in the tombs shall hearken unto his voice and shall come forth. They who the good things have done unto what?
Resurrection
of life. Well, wait a minute. Nobody ever dies, according to them. But they who by the corrupt things have practiced unto a resurrection of judgment. Now we go to Acts chapter 1. And you know, doctrines of demons. And with a really good face, and they make a lot of money also at this. It is, you know, so I would say, do the Mormons believe in that? They believe in the dead?
Yeah.
Okay, so Mormon, I think Jehovah's Witnesses do too. So the two outcast religions that are heretics believe that when people die, they die, and they're waiting for the resurrection. But so 99% of all the rest of Roman and Protestantism is the pagans. And brilliant on Satan to reverse that.
Yeah.
To say, you're the pagans and we're the people like that. So I thought, brilliant, brilliant. Now obviously, Joseph Smith was a false prophet. Obviously we know that. But the scriptures is not.
They don't believe in three gods in one either.
Yeah. 21.
Chapter 21.
Yeah, chapter 1, verse 21. It is needful then that of the men who come here with us during all the time in which the Lord Yahushua came in and went out over us, beginning from the immersion by Yochanan until the day when he was taken up from us, that a witness of his resurrection along with it should one of these be coming. The foundation of everything is the resurrection, and Christianity could care less. They said the tomb was empty. Well, everybody's tomb's empty throughout the world. What was the big deal? Abel's tomb was empty because he's already in heaven too. So for 4,000 years, people have been in heaven, so I don't get it, man. Now we go to chapter 2, verse 25, and this is where he's explaining to the Jews who... Now we know there's one class of Jews who reject the resurrection, and who are they called?
Sadducees.
The Sadducees. But this is showing the people, verse 25, for David said concerning him, I foresaw the Lord before me continually, and that's what we just read in Psalms 16, because he is on thy right hand that I may not be ashamed. For this reasoning was my heart made glad and my tongue exalted, yea, further even my flesh shall I camp on hope, because thou wilt not abandon my soul unto Sheol, neither will I give thy manifest sad to see corruption. Thou mayest known unto me paths of life, thou wilt make me full of gladness with thy countenance. Brethren, it is allowable to say with freedom of speech unto you concerning the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is among us unto this day. What does that mean? His ashes are right over there. From dust thou art, till dust thou shalt return. He's still there. Being then a prophet, and knowing that with an oath Yahweh has sworn unto him of the fruit of his loins to sit on his throne, with foresight spake he concerning the resurrection of the Messiah, because he saw corruption. David saw corruption. That neither was he abandoned unto Sheol, nor did his flesh see corruption. That same Yahushua has Yahweh raised up, whereunto we are his witnesses. That is it. And we're going to find, let's go to 4, verse 1 and 2. This is funny. Okay, what are they speaking? The resurrection, the resurrection, the resurrection. And like I said in Bonder, there's no song about resurrection. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. So we were raised with these songs. 4, 2. But as they were speaking unto the people, the high priest and the captain of the temple, and who?
Sadducees.
Uh-oh. Well, they got a vested interest. Came upon them being tired because of teaching the people and announcing in Yahushua the what?
Resurrection from the dead.
Resurrection from among the dead. Well, everybody's already in heaven. Well, what are you talking about here? That's the Sadducees. Now we go to 17 of Acts. Verse 22. Here's Mars Hill. Guess who doesn't believe in a resurrection? All the Greeks, all the pagans, they don't believe in a resurrection. So Socrates and Plato, it's a transmigration of the soul. So they're teaching, they believe exactly what Christians believe. 22, here's our context. And Paul, taking his stand in the midst of the hill of Mars, said, "Ye men of Athens, in every way how usually reverent of the demons you are, I perceive." And that's a good way. Demons is not a bad word. And so they're going to keep demons here. And it just means a lesser god than Theos. So that's a good translation. Now we go to verse 30. "The time of ignorance therefore, overlooking Yahweh as things now are, is charging all men everywhere to repent or change direction, inasmuch as he has appointed a day in which he is about to be judging the habitable earth in righteousness by a man whom he hath pointed out, offering faith unto all by raising him from among the dead." From among the dead, that means the others are still dead. So people don't like the necron. "Now when they heard of raising the dead, some indeed began to mock, while others said, we will hear thee concerning thee even again." That is the Christian church today. So the Christian church wants to go into heaven immediately, and so that's the calf that Aaron made for them. Very simply. So if that's what you want, you got it. So we're going to put you into heaven. Because I want to have that picture of that. But the problem is, you've got all sorts of horrible pictures of people committing suicide because they can be going to heaven. And then abortionists are putting children into heaven. And every horrible thing that you could even imagine is propagated by this false doctrine.
And mercy killings.
Yeah, mercy killings go on, putting people in heaven. But we know our hope is 1 Corinthians 15. So we'll kind of finish up there. It's just marvelous. And it's just all over. It's just the scriptures. That's poison. Why, the word of Yahweh is health, and now everything makes sense. There's no hurry to die.
Yeah.
Now, the good point is, the next moment when you wake up, you're going to see Christ. So there's no time in between that, but there's no hurry to get there because you're not getting there at all. Oh, and actually, you're going to lose out because you could be getting more rewards by staying here, putting in the labor, doing stuff.
Investing.
And we see in verse 12 to 22... 1 Corinthians. Well, you got a whole chapter that they will never raise at a funeral.
Yeah.
Ever. Very simply. And so the resurrection is, well, let's just go to 12 first. Oh, I guess we did say 12. "Now, if Christ has proclaimed that from among the dead he hath been awoken," that's egyro. So every time you see the word raised in 1 Corinthians 15, it's egyro. Awoken. "How say some among you, resurrection of the dead there is none?" Just like Sadducees. "But if resurrection of the dead there is none, not even Christ hath been awoken." Well, who cares if he was awoken or not? He was in heaven. Because even in Christ, he was transporting between hell and other places while his body was dead, right? Mm-hmm. According to the church. He never died in the first place. So first thing, Christ never died, his body died. So Christ didn't die for your sins. His body died for your sins. Christ wasn't raised. His body was raised. All facade. Who cares? "And if Christ had not been awoken, Void, after all, is our proclamation. Void also is our faith. And we are found even false witnesses of Yahweh because we have witnessed respecting Yahweh that he awoke the Messiah, whom he did not awake, if indeed, after all, the dead are not awakened. For if the dead are not awakened, not even Christ has been awakened. And if Christ had not been awakened, then we're all dust. It's really simple, because from dust thou art, till dust thou art to recover. Because he's the first. He's the one that gave us the hope. To no purpose is your faith, yet are ye in your sins, and it's also they who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Apollumai. If in this life in Christ we have hope, and that is all, we are all men most to be pitied. Now we go to 51. Now here's our hope. Lo, a sacred secret unto you do I declare. We shall not all change or sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, upon death. Mm-mm. No. And that's what Christianity teaches. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, once you die, that's the portal, you're in heaven. During the last trumpet, for it shall sound, oh, it still hasn't happened yet, and the dead shall be awoken incorruptible, but the dead are already incorruptible in heaven, and immortal, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must clothe itself with incorruptibility, and this mortal clothe itself with immortality. But whensoever this mortal shall clothe itself with immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death has been swallowed up victoriously. Where, O death, is thy victory? Where, O death, is thy sting? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But unto Yahweh be thanks, who is giving unto us as the victory through our Lord Yahushua Mashiach. So then, my beloved brethren, become ye steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord at all times. That is our hope, is Christ coming and not death. So, man's creation, no need of a Savior. Everybody's already in heaven anyway. If you question it, you're a heretic. A great training. The dead are alive, so if the dead are alive, why not pray to them? If I can talk to Abraham, if I could talk to Mary, if I could talk to David, everybody else, and put in a good word for me. And this is what we find out. Life is keeping me out of heaven.
Yeah.
Death is the portal to heaven. But you want to look at the resurrection, just about finished on time. We won't go there, but that's 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, and that's the body of the Christ. And then, well, we'll have to finish at the end. The resurrection of the just is Revelations 20.
Can I add something when you guys are turning there?
Okay.
When you're explaining this to somebody, and they're saying, "Well, everybody believes this, or everybody teaches this," we should say, "What does Satan teach?" Mm-hmm. And then go to Genesis 3. Satan teaches there is no absent from the body is present from the Lord.
Yeah.
Be. What does Satan teach? Oh, he teaches the same thing you're teaching.
Yeah. Dying, you do not die. 20 verse 4. And I saw thrones, and this is after the 7 years in tribulation. Satan has been bound. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and sentence of the judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them who had been beheaded because of the witness of Yahushua, and because of the word of Yahweh, and such that had not done homage unto the wild beast, or unto the image, or had received a mark upon their forehead, or upon their hand, and they lived and reigned with the Christ for 1,000. Well, they're already living and reigning with the Christ. The rest of the dead, very simply, the rest of the dead... Wait a minute, nobody's dead, just their bodies. The rest of the dead lived not until 1,000 years was ended. This is the first resurrection. Happy and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Upon these the second death hath no authority. But they shall be priests of Yahweh and of the Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. And then the second one, obviously, is Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. And they're going to be judged. That's also Judgment Day, very simply. But judgment is the moment that you die, according to everybody else. And so, just a bizarre, complete ignorance of these scriptures. And that's why they liked about the what they call the Bible students, who the Jehovah's Witnesses broke off of. You know, they actually tried to go by the scriptures. Instead of Joseph Smith, they went and they got some wrong stuff. The other stuff they got very right, very simply. Okay, just in time. So we'll get to hear from our Heavenly Father. You have to give a prophecy for the people who are hearing. Father, we thank you for these words. And be bold and be courageous and do not look disparagingly upon your position. I have told you in this life you will have hardship. Following me, you will have hardship. This world is not mine, but it is a place of darkness. So don't be surprised that many times you are not light. Neither was my son light. He was actually murdered because of the light that he stood for. So rise up and be bold and celebrate the life that you have now, and to celebrate the life that you will have with me as we come together as a family, eternally. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Next week.
Happy birthday.